You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. How good was John Durand's goal for Aston Villa? What is happening to Everton? Who won the North London Derby? Tottenham or Arsenal? And what is a screamer? And what is a sitter? Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Footglish podcast. Hopefully, your favorite English learning podcast about football. The Premier League is back. We all missed it. The international breaks are way too long for my liking. And today on the Footglish podcast, we've got two happy fans. Myself, Zdeněk Lukas, and my guest, Tom Smith. Hi, Tom. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Zdeněk. Yeah, it's great to be here. And congratulations on your Derby win today.
Yeah, I have to say the same. Congratulations on your win against Everton.
Yeah. It was a up and down game for sure. It was a dramatic one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you are an Aston Villa fan. Your team beat Everton 3-2.
Yes.
And so how do you see that game then?
So I'm a long-suffering Aston Villa fan. I've been a fan since I was about 8 years old. So this is kind of the peak of Villa as I've known them, I think, under Unai Emery. You know, we're in the Champions League for the first time since I can remember. We have a squad that actually has some depth this year. It's injuries for now, touch wood, are not a major problem. There's players coming back from injury. So, it's an exciting season. And I kind of expected a sort of easy victory in a way, because Everton, unfortunately, are really, really struggling at the minute.
Yeah. Do they have 0 points? I think so, right?
Yeah, they're on 0 points. I mean, they did really well even against the points deductions last season. There was they stayed up pretty safely, really, given the challenges they were facing. But this season, it's really dark. It's not good. Yeah.
I think they are one of the six teams or something like that have never been relegated from the Premier League.
I think exactly.
There are like six or something teams, and they are one of them. And they have been close many times, but they always made it. So,
yeah, they're a historic team. Villa and Everton is like the longest running game in English football. So it would be sad if things don't change. I think they're gonna have maybe change the manager soon and think about doing something. But they gave us a really good game. That was the thing. I mean, it was, as a Villa fan, it was quite shocking how poor we were in the first half. They took a 2-0 lead through mistakes.
Exactly.
I normally, knowing Villa, knowing our mentality often isn't the best, sort of was going to just give up and enjoy the rest of the day doing something else. And for once, Villa came through, because it's over the years they don't usually come back from losing positions, I found. So,
did you keep watching? Are you one of those fans that wouldn't leave the stadium even if you were 3-0 down, or would you just
go? No. Normally I do. Normally I stop watching. Normally I'm sort of, I'm just at home. I've other things to be doing. And if Villa are doing what they normally do, which is maybe not usually. Prior to Unai Emery, they weren't exactly beautiful to watch, and there was no major joy to be taken in
it. All it took was an ex-Arsenal manager.
who maybe wasn't as appreciated as he could have been, I think. He's a
it was tough for him, because he came after Arsene Wenger, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And and it wasn't, it was a good day in general, because we have Ollie Watkins, who's in a phenomenal goal scorer, has been a really brilliant player for us, but has been really struggling, because he hadn't really come back since the summer. He hadn't scored in quite a while, so he got two goals. And then we had that unbelievable long range John Durand strike, which I just started shouting. My wife was like, what the hell is going on? And, it's just incredible. It's not something you see.
That was amazing. I wasn't watching your game, but for some reason, I turned it on like 5 minutes before that strike, and I saw that live. So I was really happy to to catch that. And so obviously, you, as you said, you equalize through Ollie Watkins, two goals, a brace, a struggling striker, and then that winning goal you scored, that the incredible goal that was by Duran. What's his name? John Duran.
He's a for interesting figure. Signed him. I assumed we'd signed him for too much money from Chicago Fire a few years ago, like £20 million or something like that. And he's been controversial because he has hinted he's not happy. He wants to leave Villa, maybe, whatever. But yeah, he apparently yesterday he broke a record that was the most goal winning, most match winning goals by a substitute in a season.
Really?
And four games in, because he's done it, I think, three times now out of four games. He's come on and scored the winning goal.
Well, this one, that was an absolute screamer. It was like from long distance. And it took it, I think it was a left-footed finish, I think, right? And it went with the outside of his boot, and it's curved into the top corner. It's an unbelievable goal. And Pickford stood no chance against that.
No. It curled away from Pickford and was absolutely inch perfect, just right into the corner. And yeah, it's not easy, but he actually, that's all he does. Well, that's not all he does, but he seems to really have a knack for scoring extremely beautiful and often long range goals. You know, he's just, he's got a real talent, and he's 20 years old. West Ham wanted to sign him.
Exactly.
Evidently, there was about 40 clubs that wanted to sign him over the summer. So there's a bit of a problem now, because Ollie Watkins is sort of like the star of the club, but he's kind of under pressure a little bit with John Duran now. So they have to kind of fit somehow, both of them. Yeah.
Well, Ollie Watkins has been squandering his chances lately, right? So there was a chance. Was it who did they play? Who did you play against? It was like an absolute sitter that he missed. Like it was a header or something.
Well, I mean, it could have been Arsenal, right? I mean, there was a couple.
Oh, yeah, it was against Arsenal, right? Yeah, it was David Raya's save.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a great save. That was a great save, but it should have been put away. There was no.
It should have been, yeah. But now he got two goals, so he's probably off to a good start, hopefully. And Duran now is on fire too. And can you hear me, Tom?
We have Eddie Buendia coming back as well. He played for the first time in over a year, coming back from injury. He's a great player, a great attacking player as well. We made some good signings over the summer. We have Tielemans playing midfield, Ross Barkley now. So yeah, we've got some creative players, and let's see if we can keep it up. Yeah, with the Champions League this year as well.
Yeah. So no, right now you are doing really well. You are in the fourth place. So. Again, in the Champions League spot, top four. And like the question I have to ask you is, do you think you will be able to play those two competitions at the same time? Because we saw what happened to Newcastle last season, right? They were struggling. So you'll have to have some rotation and stuff, right? So do you think you will handle it?
All I can do is hope. You know, I hope for a good run. This is a new format of the Champions League, so we'll see how that goes. And we spent a lot of money in the summer. We sold a lot of players as well. So, but I think in general we upgraded. The good thing was we weren't buying star names and big money. We were just buying solid players. At left back now, we have Ian Matson, who was playing for Dortmund last season, and he's on our subs bench. Mm-hmm. Whereas we have Luca Dean, who's a French international in the left back position. So we've got like cover in a lot of places that is really top class, really, in a lot. But in other places, we're weak. So, for example, goalkeeping, we don't have any backup for Martinez, really. So if Emi Martinez, he's a huge figure, world-class goalkeeper. So if something were to happen to him, for example, I would be worried. Our right back, we really don't have. We have a guy called Matty Cash, Polish international, but he's
that's a funny name for a Polish guy. Yeah. Cash.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how he gets on in the locker room.
I have no idea.
I don't think he speaks any Polish, but he's injured now, and we don't really have much up for him. So I think we might. Mm. may struggle over the long season, you know. But let's see.
Yeah, you might need to shell out some more cash for a replacement for Cash.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, I mean, a lot of people wanted him replaced anyway. I don't think he's quite at the level, according to a lot of fans, and he did tend to like give away penalties and handballs and make. He's really good going forward. He's very quick, but he's not so good in his
He's not defense. Good at defending, and being a defender, you have to be good at defending. All right, yeah, fair enough. But exciting times for your team, Aston Villa. I'm glad that a team from Birmingham, you know, is it the second largest city in the UK? I think so, right? So
yeah, second biggest, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so you know, it's good. It's good for a team from Birmingham to do well, honestly, because the other team, but is it Birmingham FC or
Birmingham City? Yeah,
Birmingham City. Yeah, they are not in the Premier League. So they used to be, I think. But
exactly. Yeah. So the big rivals. They actually went down. I think Wayne Rooney took over for part of the season, and it went
Wayne
really
Rooney
bad.
is a curse wherever he goes.
It seems so. I mean, yeah, he still got the ready plays, but not so much managing. I don't think it's his strength. Yeah.
Now, speaking of Everton, 0 points. And what really struck me is the fact that they lost. So four matches, right? We have four matches into the season or four rounds into the season. And Everton lost two games while being 2-0 up, right? So they were 2-0 up against Bournemouth. And then they lost in that incredible fashion, like in the last 10 minutes of the game or something. They conceded three goals, lost 3-2. Now, the same with you guys. They were 2-0 up, now lost. It must be really kind of dispiriting for the fans and for the club, right? Can you imagine?
Hugely, hugely dispiriting, because the reason I kept watching was because of what had happened the previous week. You know, you just knew that you always have a chance against Everton, unfortunately, at the minute. They gave us a good run. They also hit the crossbar in the last few minutes. It could have been a 3-3 draw. Football's strange, you know, anything can happen. But with the way Everton are at the minute, and also I think, the new stadium and debt and problems, actually, it's kind of sad, you know.
Well, it's still not over. It's just four games, right? It's just four games. They have some quality players. Calvert-Lewin and so on. So yeah, we will see. We'll see. I think there are a lot of teams. To be honest, there are a lot of teams that are at like 1 or 2 points. It takes one win, and they are out of the relegation zone, right? So
yeah, it's too early at all to know, but given previous seasons as well, it's a constant sort of spiral for them, right?
Yeah. I wonder what happened to them. This took place twice. Like, is it a lapse of concentration, complacency? Or is it what one famous Czech manager, Caplar, calls Caplar's trap? Or actually, that's what Caplar says in his interviews, and then they named it after him. Caplar's trap is when your team is 2-0 up. That's when you're at risk, basically. Because all it takes is one conceded goal, and then the other team is still in it. So it's the Caplar's trap. What happened to him?
It's not enough. It's sort of a mental, there's a big mental side to the game, right? And you think you can relax, and they went ahead, I think it was after 27 minutes, they were 2-0 off. So then it's just too much left, too much time, and too many doubts can creep in. And
exactly. Because you think it's in the bag, right? It's 2-0 up. It's quite a good, comfortable, comfy cushion, right? And then complacency creeps in, or you get into a mental state where you have something to lose, basically, right? So, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And they can't deal with it at the moment. What surprised me a lot as well is the fact that Liverpool lost at home to Ipswich Town. Nottingham Forest, sorry. So what did you make of that?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I was disappointed because I have Salah in my fantasy team. I don't rely on Liverpool too much for some reason. I don't have like a ton of Liverpool defenders or anything like that. So I'm too disappointed. But yeah, it's shocking. It's not the dominant Liverpool, and I don't think it has been. They've been playing really well. They haven't conceded that much. But I think for me, I'm still yet to watch them enough to know what this new coach will do. And that's,
I think, time will show. It's still early days again, and it might be hard again to follow up Jurgen Klopp, right? It's really tough, a tough act to follow, right? As we say.
Yeah, he's been doing a good job of doing. He's been doing a good job of following up. He's been, the results have been good, but the Premier League, there's this quality throughout the whole league as well. Nottingham Forest actually, to me, have a strong team. They've got Morgan Gibbs-White, who sort of runs everything.
Oh, he was not even playing. I think he was a substitute in this game.
All right, okay.
I think so. Yeah, let me check. But, he's a great player. I like him.
Mm. Yeah. And so, you're always going to have that possibility. And Liverpool maybe, I don't know. They haven't had the dominance that they used to. And we'll see. I'm not so. I think really it's this season between Man City and Arsenal for me at the top. We'll see. Yeah, that'll be.
No. Sorry. He was playing. My bad. He was substituted. Yeah. No. Okay. You're right. You're right. I think it's just a bit different. It's like what happened at Arsenal after Arsene Wenger left. It's just difficult because everyone is going to naturally compare you to that legend that Jurgen Klopp obviously is after winning a title after so many years with them, right? And playing such fantastic football and that heavy metal style and
so yeah, it's not so much the titles or anything, because he was there when Pep was at Man City, so he's had that struggle, right? That they were almost always coming out second best, which...
Well, they won once, right? During COVID, they got one title.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Which is, he had them playing fantastically well. It's a shame in a way, because at any other point in English football, they probably would have won a lot more,
Yeah, it's true. They were the only team that were challenging, basically, Man City. They were like 2-3 year period or something, right? Arsenal were nowhere near them at that point, so...
Yeah, and their points totals were incredible and should have been league winning, except you just got this machine of Man City. But
I think for our teams, it's not a bad thing that Liverpool dropped points, obviously. But we would like to see Man City do the same. And unfortunately, they have this one player called Haaland. He's just an absolute monster. Yeah? He's got, I think, 10 goals right now. Yeah, he's on... 9 goals, he's the top goal scorer of the league currently. Can you imagine 9 goals after 4 games? And the second best, you've got about 7 players on 3 goals.
And I think he's probably scored more goals than any other team combined in a way, The next team below him is, I don't know if it's Arsenal or whatever, it's 7 goals for the whole, whatever. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's great to watch. I enjoy watching him. I think he seems like a solid guy, hardworking, down to earth, and really phenomenal for Man City to have. And but unstoppable. He's like a cheat code. Yeah,
and I think he's also the teams that he plays for are lucky that he only plays for Norway, because that means that they don't always get into the later stages of like tournaments like Euros or the World Cup, right? Playing for Norway, so that means he's well rested. Like this season, I mean, he's
like a new player. I mean, I didn't think he could get better, but he rested and worked over the summer or whatever he was doing, and he's back hungry and
he's just phenomenal, right?
Yeah, I'd say he was very disappointed he didn't get the 3 hat tricks in 3 games.
Yeah, he was close. He hit the post.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so good for us, I think, if we have Haaland in our fantasy teams as well, because he's just left, right, and center. Yeah.
So did you watch the North London derby? So obviously that happened today. We are recording on Sunday, and about 2 hours ago, Arsenal managed to defeat Tottenham away from home, which is a great achievement every single time for us. And it wasn't easy because we didn't have many chances. They had more possession, more chances, but these chances were not huge chances. So it's like, if you look at XG, it was, I think each team had below 1, like something like 0.7 or something. So just like one set piece and Gabriel scored a header. It was from a corner kick, so we won.
It was a great header. I mean, very powerful, really well put away. I mean, it was phenomenal. Yep. And I watched the sort of last maybe 25 minutes or so, and I'm impressed. I mean, Arsenal are playing great. They, without Rice and without Odegaard, still to be able to go to Spurs and, like, I think control the game from what I saw. For most of what I saw, they were controlling it. And frustrating Spurs a lot. I mean, the defense, the Arsenal defense is great. You know, as a Villa fan, I'm happy. You know, we've got Pau Torres, Spanish international, and Nesri Khanza right now in our central defense, and it's a really good pairing. They're both very classy. They're not very physical in a way, but they're very technical and really high quality. But Arsenal, the defense of Arsenal just has everything. You know, they're.
Yeah. But to be fair, Arsenal fans were quite worried because we were without our arguably two best players. I mean, you could say that Saka is one of them, but Declan Rice and Martin Odegaard were both unavailable for this game. So one was suspended. Declan Rice was suspended, had a red card, and Odegaard got injured in an international game. So considering we had those two absences, it's an amazing achievement, especially bearing in mind that our next game is at the Etihad. So,
will they be back?
I don't know. Rice should be back, right? He got suspended after two. Like it was after two yellows. So it's not a straight red. So I think it's just one match ban. So, yeah.
Let's just hope that Man City don't start pulling away next weekend, you know, and the whole cycle starts again. It has been dominating, you know.
And they haven't even played Foden yet, I think. He's still trying to catch up on his fitness. But anyway, Tom, let's talk about our heroes of the week. Have you got one? I have renamed this segment into Haaland of the Week, by the way. So hero of the week or Haaland of the Week, take your pick.
Yeah, I'll stick with Villa as it was the game I watched in most detail, and everyone was focusing on John Duran and his goal, but in reality it was Ollie Watkins who got the two goals that got us in the game, and he never stops working. He's a really solid sort of servant of the club and has been and is starting to get towards sort of record breaking territory for Villa goal scoring wise. So for me, it's going to be Watkins. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. He's in my fantasy team, so I'm not unhappy about this. I'm going to give it to Haaland, and not because he scored only two goals, you could say. So it's not progress because he got hat tricks the two games before. But I think the issue there was is that he had someone die in his family, right? So I think his uncle passed away. And he didn't even celebrate those two goals. So it was a doubt for this game. And the way he just handles this, any pressure situations, it's incredible. And for that, he's my hero of the week. What about the villain of the week? Do you have one?
Again, I would go back. We signed Onana from Everton over the summer, and he's been playing really, really well, but he was really poor against Everton. He
really
gave the ball away for their first goal, and then he was taken off at halftime because Emery wanted more control over the game. So I don't know if there was some psychology going on around playing against his old team or he felt a bit rattled, but he didn't turn up for the occasion, basically. So I would just put Onana in. But that's not to say that he hasn't been good previously, but it was an off day. Yeah.
Okay, fair point. And I'm going to give it to Mohamed Salah because of the result, like losing 1-0 against Nottingham Forest. Mohamed Salah is someone that should lead by example. He's a senior player. He's an experienced player. And I have to say I didn't see the game, but I checked the player ratings and he had the lowest player rating. And obviously, I'm not unhappy about this again because I don't have Salah in my fantasy team. So whenever Salah fails, like that means points for me, right?
For sure, yeah. So far this season, I've had both Haaland and Salah in, so it's been a good decision so far until yesterday.
Played really Salah until this point was really good. Mm-hmm. So you want to check our fantasy teams or our scores and the table in our Footglitch Podcast League, which, by the way, all listeners of this podcast can join as well, because there is a link in the description of this episode. Shall I share my screen?
I think do it. We are close, I think, neck and neck, you and I.
Yeah, well, again, it's too early, you know, because it's so easy to mess up in this game. But all right, let's see. League, where is it? The Footglitch Podcast League. Okay, standings. Oh, yes, you're right. You are 1 point ahead of me. You are on 267 points while I'm at 266.
For now, until we recalculate, I guess. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to be above you. You know why? Because I've got one substitute that is coming in for me. I'm going to show you. So you are on 56. So you had Haaland, the captain. You're going to have Soucek. Soucek at 1 point, unfortunately.
That's my Czech solidarity going on there.
I have Soucek too, but I think he's going to be out of my team soon with these kind of performances. Mm-hmm. But let me show you my team then. And I'm going to get points. I also have João Pedro like everyone else. So that means we get points from the substitute. And my substitute is Emil Smith Rowe. So, which is a good thing, because I'm going to be at I think something like 59 points.
Yeah, it's my weakness is my bench at the minute. So that's something I have to look into over the next few weeks and get that sorted. Mm-hmm. It's quite important to have the depth, but I haven't had the subs to make and things. Yeah.
Well, I'm preparing to take the wild card soon. I think when after the game against City, I need Arsenal players in my team. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm okay with how the season has gone so far. I think it's an okay start for me. The important thing is that I got the captaincy right every single time with Haaland. I never failed to captain him, obviously, because if you did, I mean, this is a issue, right?
Yeah, I mean, his ownership is back up to, I don't know, something like 70%, because people doubt him at the beginning of the season, and then they really you can't doubt him.
You can't play without him. He broke the game.
Yeah, exactly. And then they put the price up to some crazy level, like 15 million this year, and he's still cheap, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The Premier League table, shall we show that as well? Those of you who are watching us on YouTube, you will now be able to see the Premier League table after four rounds. There's still one game going on, by the way. I think it's what is it? It's Wolves against Newcastle. Wolves are 1-0 up in the 75th minute. Interesting.
Yeah, my last player that I had a bit of hope for was Dan Byrne defending, but that hasn't worked out.
You mean in your fantasy team, yeah?
Yeah.
So this is the Premier League table after four rounds. An incomplete table. We still have that one game that is being played right now. But as you can see, Manchester City didn't drop any points. They are on 12 points. Arsenal in the second place with 10 points. Then in the third place, Liverpool, closely followed by Aston Villa, both 9 points. And then we have Brighton with 8 points. Nottingham Forest in the sixth place with 8 points. Yeah. And then, it's quite tight. I think still quite tight. Anyone can beat anyone, it seems like, again.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I like seeing teams like Brighton up there and playing really well. And, you know, they didn't start Pedro, but when he comes back, I think they seem solid, and they've got this really incredible young manager. It's really nice to watch. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, Tom, I think we can leave it there. Have you got anything else to say?
No. Thanks for having me on. And
it's a pleasure. Thank you for telling us about your team, Aston Villa, and I'm sure we will catch up at some point. It's great because, I haven't talked to an Aston Villa fan before, so I'm glad I had the,
yeah,
the chance to do
we're,
it.
We're a rare enough species, I think. There's not so many of us around, yeah.
Exactly. All right, man. Take care and thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Welcome back to the Language Corner. In this part of the show, as always, I'm going to do my job, and that means I will be teaching you some expressions, some English language expressions, because obviously that's what you are here for, right? I'm not sure, actually. I'm not sure if you like the concept of this podcast. If you do, why don't you write a review? Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on those usual places. It's going to give me some feedback, right? I will see if you guys like it. Maybe you say, oh, Zdenek, please just don't explain this vocabulary, please. This is my least favorite part of the show. I don't know. But I have to, you see. If I didn't do this, this podcast wouldn't be unique enough. I need to keep it unique, right? Because I'm a teacher. I need to keep it unique and I need to sort of showcase what I can do as a teacher. Otherwise, you know, anyone could do this kind of podcast. You know what I mean? Right. So I'm going to have a look at actually six nouns. Okay, six nouns. Tom said, we have a squad that actually has some depth this year. He was talking about his team, Aston Villa. Depth. By the way, this is a difficult word to pronounce. Depth. Depth. Can you repeat it? Depth. It comes from the word deep. You know, when something is deep, right? It's the opposite of shallow, right? You know what deep is. And you can talk about the depth, which is the noun from the verb deep, the depth of the squad. If you have a deep squad, if there is a lot of depth in your squad, it means there are a lot of players in your squad, right? So you have so many options to choose from. And obviously, if you want to play in European competitions, you need to have a lot of squad depth. So this is good for Aston Villa. Then Tom said they did really well against the point deduction. He was talking about Everton. So last year they deducted some points from Everton because of breaching the FFP rules. Hopefully I'm saying it right. And the financial fair play rules, right? And I'm looking at the word deduction. So deduction is a noun again, and it comes from the verb to deduct. If you deduct points, you subtract points, you take away points from a total, okay, from a total amount of points. So for example, let's say Everton were at 30 points, and then because they were found guilty of breaching these FFP rules, they deducted, let's say, 10 points from the 30 points. I think it was less, but anyway, the point is, this is what the word deduction means. Okay, right. Now, I said this one, that was an absolute screamer. I was referring to the goal John Duran scored for Aston Villa, the goal that put them 3-0 up. 3-2 up, right? Remember that? And the screamer. So you know the verb to scream. Rah! If you scream, right? Rah! A screamer is a noun. It's like a slang word which is used for an amazing goal. Usually it's some sort of long distance shot into the top corner. And then we can talk about this kind of goal as a screamer. Okay, then I said it was an absolute sitter that he missed. Now, I was talking about Ollie Watkins. There was a game, Arsenal against Aston Villa, and Ollie Watkins had a chance where he had to score. It was a free header, and I think he had like half of the goal was empty. And if you miss a sitter, you miss an easy goal-scoring opportunity. It should be easy for you to score, and it's a sitter, right? It comes from the verb to sit. But again, it's another sort of slang word which we use as a noun, a sitter, an easy goal-scoring opportunity. Then Tom said, goalkeeping, we don't have any backup for Martinez. You know, Emiliano Martinez, or is it Emil Martinez? I can't remember. The Argentinian goalkeeper that used to play for Arsenal, that is now, of course, number one at. He's now, of course, number one at Aston Villa. And what Tom was saying is that they don't have a backup for this guy. A backup is like a player that serves as a substitute when necessary, when needed, right? It's not your number one. It's someone who will step in if necessary. It's someone who will replace your main keeper if he gets injured, for example, right? So a backup. We can use this word for a lot of other things, like a backup plan. What's your backup plan if it rains, right? You want to play five-a-side football with your mates, but it's good to have a backup. What if it rains? Maybe you just go to the pub instead. That's your backup plan, right? Okay, and finally, when Tom was talking about his villain of the week, he said, he was talking about Onana. He said Onana played against his former club, right? Because he used to play for Everton, and now he's at Aston Villa. And apparently he looked rattled. Yeah, he had an off day. So if someone has an off day, it means that that person doesn't perform as well as he usually does, right? You could talk about your off day as well, perhaps at work. Normally, you know, you put in a standard performance at work. You know, you do everything as expected, and your boss is satisfied with what you deliver on a daily basis in your work. But maybe from time to time you have an off day. It's like a bad day, you know, an off day. A day when you're not doing as well as expected. And Onana had an off day in this game against Everton, against his former club. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. I hope you don't think that I had an off day today. Hopefully not. And you enjoyed this episode. It's important, right? It's important for me, of course. I told you, I need feedback, and I need you to feel like this podcast is useful for you and enjoyable, and that I am inviting interesting guests, which, in my humble opinion, Tom definitely was. And it's a fantastic addition to all the guests that I've had on this podcast. Hopefully, it's not the last time I talk to Tom about Aston Villa. So that's it, I guess, for today. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.